I want to invite your attention to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. I want to begin reading at verse number 28. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse number 28. When you find it, just nod your head or something. The Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." I really want us to pay attention to verse number 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Look at it. Wolves entering in among you. So let me address the subject tonight: before the wolves came in. Before the wolves came in. I want you to understand from the outset, the setting of this text is the city of Ephesus, where one of the seven wonders of the world stood, the great temple of Diana of the Ephesians. This is found in Acts the 19th chapter and verse number 28. Listen to your Bible, lest you think I'm making this up. "And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians." You need to understand that Diana was a goddess, a god, a female god. But when Paul went to the city, he didn't preach to them about being saved by some goddess, by some female god. No, Paul shared with them the God that created the heavens and the earth. You see, Diana was created by them, but they were created by God. And I think there's a very significant difference. I don't want to serve a god that when it gets old, I have to work on it. I don't want to serve a God that when it gets weary and tired, I have to do something to it. I want to serve a God when I get tired, that has the power, the strength, and the capacity to put me back to going again. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm thankful tonight that we serve an all-powerful God. That was the God that Paul presented to the city of Ephesus. Please be reminded that the church at Ephesus was indeed planted by the Apostle Paul after he had baptized 12 certain disciples who had been taught and possibly baptized by the eloquent Apollos of Alexandria. If you don't mind, come over to Acts the 18th chapter. beginning with verse number 24. I want to share some good news with you here tonight. I need you to understand when it comes to the church that was planted by Paul, the church of Christ in the city of Ephesus. There was a man there by the name of Apollos. Are you in the text? And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now I need you to catch this. Apollos knew some things, but he just did not know enough. He only knew about John's baptism. Well, John's baptism had come and gone. As a matter of fact, John even said himself, when he looked at Christ, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's back in John 3 in verse number 30. But I want to tell you, Apollos was still preaching John baptism after Jesus had gotten up from the dead and declared in Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20, he came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. John's baptism is no longer valid after Jesus gave of the great commission to go out and teach all nations. John's baptism is no good. John's baptism had served his purpose, but Apollos was still preaching John's baptism. Now I need you to get this. Apollos was a Jew born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. If you don't mind, I'm told, when I read historical books, that the city of Alexandria was actually named in honor of Alexander the Great. I'm told that Alexandria the Great had what they call a library, and it was the greatest known library in the world. They say it had over 200,000 volumes. Well, that may be why he's called or talked about for being from Alexandria. I don't know, but I want to tell you, he was eloquent and mighty in the scripture. But the only thing about it that was Old Testament scripture. Are you paying attention? And there's a difference between Old Testament scripture and New Testament scripture. Old Testament scripture has a purpose, and New Testament scripture has a purpose. When it comes down to Old Testament scripture, you need to understand that it was written for our learning, our admonition, and some other things. But it was not written for our obedience. And so tonight, I want to focus in on how it was before the wolves came in. You see a whole lot of people being baptized, and they don't believe if they receive the wrong teaching, they receive the wrong baptism. But I'm going to show you tonight how it was before the wolves came in. If a man was not taught correctly back there in the first century, he had to be taught right in order to be baptized right. But today, they'll just dunk you in the water, whether you get taught right or not. But that's not the case in this text. I need you to go to chapter 19 and verse 1. Listen to your Bible. Are you there? And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, first of all, listen to this. Paul was at Corinth and Apollos was at Ephesus. But after Priscilla and Aquila worked on Apollos, they sent Apollos over to Corinth, and Paul went to Ephesus. Did you all catch what I just said? Just in case you didn't get it, back up to chapter 18 and verse number 27. Are you listening? Well, let me go back to 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Who, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Did you catch it? Well, something happened. After they taught Apollos the way of God more perfectly, they didn't leave Apollos at Ephesus. They got him out of Ephesus, and he ended up in Corinth. Well, let me show you why I believe he got out of Ephesus. When he was first in Ephesus, he knew only the baptism of John. Now, after he was corrected by Aquila and Priscilla, don't you think it would have been difficult for Apollos to say, well, let me tell you all something. A few days ago, I taught you John baptism, but now I know better. John baptism isn't any good, so I have to teach you again the gospel of Christ. Well, they didn't allow that to happen. Instead of Apollos staying at Ephesus, they sent him over to Corinth. And here comes the great apostle Paul. And when Paul gets there at Ephesus, he finds certain disciples. And the first thing Paul did was raise some questions. You see, a lot of people don't want you questioning them about their religion. They'll tell you in a New York minute. That's a fast minute. I know what I got. Honey, I know what I got when I got what I got. You can't tell me what I didn't get or when I got what I got. And when I pressed them a little bit, I asked them, what did you get when you got what you got? They say, I know I got it. I want to know, what did you get? The reason they can't tell you what they got when they got what they got, because they were not taught what they were supposed to get when they got it. You hear me in a minute? That's why they can't tell you. They want you to move on from them because they can't stand up under the questions. Isn't that all right? As a matter of fact, before I leave this week, I'll probably preach the sermon, what did I do when I did what I did. You'll be all right after a while. Isn't that all right? So where is Apollos? At Corinth. Where did he come from? Ephesus. Where is Paul now? at Ephesus. Where did he come from? Corinth. So when Paul gets there, he raises a question. Verse number 2. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now the reason I know that they have not been scripturally baptized is because they hadn't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. You see, if they had been scripturally baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, they would have at least heard about it. Am I correct about it? So he asked the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They say unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Then Paul knew he had a problem. So Paul asked another question. Unto what then were ye baptized? In other words, Paul is saying, I want to know by whose authority were you baptized? I want to know what were you baptized into? I want to know what were you baptized for? I just want to know. They say unto him, unto John's baptism. But notice, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now notice, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm trying to tell you how it was before the wolves came in. You see, before the wolves came in, if a person didn't receive the right baptism, they were taught right and baptized right. If they were not taught right, they could not have been baptized right. You see, today, people don't want to talk about it. But I want to tell you how it was before the wolves came in. Paul spent over 3 years, about the space of 3 years, at Ephesus, teaching, admonishing, training, and developing these men. Paul taught them day and night. And then Paul decided, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that I need to leave Ephesus. But before he left, he gave them some information, not only about themselves, but about some wolves among themselves that were going to come. Paul said, after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you. What are they going to do? They are going to speak perverse things. They will not spare the flock. They will speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now what I want to do in the remaining of the message, I want to tell you at least 3 things. How it was before the wolves came in. First of all, there was only one spiritual organism. That's the Church of Christ. Number 2, I want you to get it. There was only one scriptural organization. And number 3, there was only one simple order of salvation. So what I want to do, let me flip that. I want to work first of all on the spiritual, or the scriptural rather, organization. I say scriptural organization. Now why am I calling it scriptural organization? Because a whole lot of people, they think that the church is an organization. But I'm telling you, the church is more than an organization. It is a spiritual organism that has organization in it. Did you hear what I just said? It is a spiritual organism that has organization in it. So I want to make it plain tonight. I want to tell you tonight, I'm not one of those tell it like it is preachers. I don't tell it like it is. I tell it like it was. And I'm going to help you with that. I don't tell it like it is. I tell it like it was. When it comes to preaching God's word, God doesn't want me telling it like it is. God wants me to tell it like it was. And I know you're looking at me strangely, but come to Jude in verse number 3. Let's see how God wants me to tell it. Let's see if God wants me to tell it like it is or tell it like it was. Are you in Jude? And verse 3. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now notice, the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You see, if I tell it like it is, I have to tell it like Benny Hinn is telling it. If I tell it like it is, I have to tell it like Sepho Dollar is telling it. If I tell it like it is, I have to tell it like Joel Osteen is telling it. If I tell it like it is, I have to tell it like T.D. Jakes is telling it. But if I tell it like it was, I'll tell it like Jesus told it. If I tell it like it was, I'll tell it like Paul told it. If I tell it like it was, I'll tell it like Peter told it. If I tell it like it was, I'll tell it like you told it. You see, it was once delivered to the saints. So I have a question for you tonight. How do you want me to tell it? Do you want me to tell it like it is? Or do you want me to tell it like it was? I'm going to tell it like it was. I'm going to tell it the way God left it on the pages of inspiration. So tonight, I want to tell you how it was before the wolves came in by wolves. I mean men, evil men, not the wild animals that have the power to destroy the innocent flock of our day, or sheep that run around. I saw some animals running around the other day when I was out walking. Well, I'm not talking about those. Oh, no, I'm talking about the ones that go around on 2 feet. Are you all listening? Well, go over to 2 Timothy 3. I got to make it plain. I have to make it where you can leave here with an understanding. Because the Bible said wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Isn't that Proverbs 4:7? Oh, yes. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Are you there? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. What kind of men are we talking about? We're talking about evil men. And I know a lot of folk don't think these so-called pastors are evil. And the reason why they don't think that is because they normally don't associate pastors with evil. But I'm going to show you, any man that teaches a doctrine that didn't come from God by Christ through the Holy Spirit and written down by the apostles and prophets, he's speaking evil and his deeds are evil. Come over to 2 John. We may as well see this thing together. People need to see what an evil man looks like. Oh, yes. I say we need to see what an evil man looks like. Well, Jesus is going to help me in a few minutes. John said, whosoever, are you there? I want you to get this. John wanted them to know that if anybody came their way without this doctrine, don't even let them in your house. But notice of what John said. Are you there? The Bible says in the text, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. But if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now watch the next verse. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Any doctrine that does not come from the Bible is a doctrine that's evil and destructive. And we need to understand that in religion. Just because he smiles at you doesn't mean his doctrine is pure. We have to check it out from the book. I need Jesus' help. Come to Matthew 7. I believe you'll believe Jesus over John. I know a lot of people I study with. They have these red letter edition Bibles. And they say, I don't believe it if it's not in red. Well, what I try to do is this. Everything I preach is in red. And everything I preach, I have read. Are you listening? So I got to get you to see this. All of my preaching is in red. Everything I preach tonight, I've read. But you know R-E-D, red, that's what they're talking about. But I'm talking about R-E-A-D. Are you listening? Sometimes you just have to help people. They don't know any better. So you have to take out the time to teach them. They say if it's not in red, they don't believe it. Well, let me give you something in red. And I read it in red. I said it's in red and I read it in red. Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravens and wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Somebody needs to hear this. Jesus said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now inwardly they are ravens and wolves. You know, I took the time, and I'm always trying to look up stuff because the Bible said the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. So if you study, you ought to be able to give an answer. Well, I looked at that word, raven. I even went back. You know, some smart people say, well, I did an etymological search on the word. Well, I just went and looked at it. You know, what's the etymology of it? And I just went and looked at it. Is that good enough? I just went back and checked it out. So let me show you what I found out when I went and checked it out. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 49 and verse number 27. Let's go back and take a look at it. Because when Jesus used the word meant extortion. to seize or to take by force, and then greedy, extremely hungry for what you have. Are you all listening? Now I need you to catch this. A man that Jesus described inwardly as a ravenous wolf is a man that's hungry for something. What is he hungry for? He's hungry for prayer. He's searching folk that don't know any better. He snatches them. He seizes them. He controls them. He extorts them. So watch the book. Are you in Genesis 49? Verse 27. Jacob is talking to his baby son Benjamin. As Jacob is in his old age and he's about to die. The book said, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. And at night, he shall divide the spoil. Did you all catch what Jacob said about his baby son Benjamin? Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. Well, that word raven here comes from a Hebrew word, tirah, which means to pull off, to pluck, to tear into pieces, to pull into pieces. What are you saying? I am saying any man that teaches false doctrine is pulling your soul away from Jesus. He's tearing you apart from Jesus. He's ripping you up. Somebody ought to hear me. You need to beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Yes, they look good. Yes, they dress good. Yes, they put on the best smelling cologne they could put on and the prettiest diamond watch they can find. They want to look prosperous. They want to look good because if they look good, you see them and you say to yourself, I want to look like that. You see all of this stuff they have. They say, I want the same. You say, I want the stuff that they have. And then they start lying to you and telling you what you ought to do to help plant a seed of some money. And they get all the money and leave you like you've always been. And you can't figure out why God is not blessing you. Honey, he blessed you. You gave it away to the evil preacher. Oh, yes, I'll be all right. I'm not afraid to tell the truth because I believe that the truth will make you free. You see, you got to beware of false prophets. Now, when it comes down to God's scriptural organization, come over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. I need to work on this because you need to see it. There were scriptural elders or pastors in the church. And I want you to see something. I think you need to see this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now notice that word, pastor. That word, pastor, actually comes from a word that we call shepherds. Now this word, and I don't want to get into Pomaine and all of that stuff. You be looking at me like, where is he coming from with all of these different old funny sounding words. But the word simply means that they ought to tend to the flock. They ought to care for the flock. Now did you notice he put one as evangelist and he put another as pastor? Now, what that means is all evangelists are not pastors. And all pastors are not evangelists. These are two different offices. And I see these young guys riding bicycles. Talking about the Elder Jones and Elder Smith. Still got milk on their breast. little boys talking about their elders. The word elder itself implies old. Are you all listening? Now, I can't do anything I want to do here, but I can do some things. So I want to go back to the text of Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I want to look at it again. I want to go back there. Because that word, pastor, is in the same family word that we're going to read in verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseer to feed. I want to pause right there. See that word, feed? That word, feed, is the same family Greek word for the word pastor. So pastors are to feed. Pastors are to tend to. Pastors are to take care of the flock. Now I want you to get something. Not only did he call them overseers, you want to know? Turn the word over. See over. You don't need to be Einstein to understand that. What are overseers? They see over. So what are pastors? They are feeders. Then if you go back up, actually to verse number 17, you'll find out that he calls them elders. Are you all paying attention? Now notice this. Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Notice, he called them elders. He called them overseers. He called them pastors or shepherds. Presbyters. Are you all getting it? Or bishops. Sometimes they are referred to as stewards. All seven terms refer to the same group or class of men. So when he was talking about the preacher, he gave him the name evangelist. Are you listening? Brother Carl Mitchell is the evangelist of this church. And when our elders are ordained and bishops and overseers are ordained, they are being a different class than the evangelists. And people need to understand that. A lot of folk don't know. I was walking down the street today. And man, I went to get what I wanted. And I got my food. And I was going back to my room. And this guy said, hey, you want a taxi? I said, look at me, man. I need to walk. Can't you see? And he laughed. And then I kept walking. And then I thought about it. Because there may be another day that I have to get out. And I said, hey, man, come here for a minute. So he came on over. I said, man, how much would you charge me to take me to this place where I can get this jerk chicken? Yeah, that's what I was looking for. He said, well, I'll just charge you $5 to take you. I said, okay, sir, I appreciate that. He said, well, you know, I tell you what. He said, I can take you where the ladies are. I say, first of all, sir, I don't need any ladies. I'm preaching at the Patrick City God's Church of Christ. I had to jump him like I jump a rabbit. I had to jump him quick. I had to invite him to the meeting. His mind wasn't in the right place. You don't meet a stranger and then tell him you're going to take him where the ladies are. I don't want any women. I knew then he needed Jesus. So I wish he'd come. You know how some folk are. They get too busy. Too much in your business. I'm trying to tell you tonight, I'm an evangelist in the Church of Christ. I'm not the pastor of the Figueroa Church of Christ in Los Angeles. I'm not the pastor. I'm the preacher. I'm the minister. I'm the evangelist. I'm the servant of that church. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. I need to make it plain. I'm trying to show you how it was before the wolves came in. You see, before the wolves came in, the evangelist was not necessarily a pastor. And folk need to understand that. As a matter of fact, there are qualifications that the pastor must have, and one of them is the husband of one wife. So Timothy couldn't have been the pastor. There's no indication where Timothy was married. Well, what was he then? Paul said, but watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. So what was Timothy? Timothy was an evangelist. Timothy was not the pastor at Ephesus. And we got young guys in the States now calling themselves pastors. There's a group of them. Yeah, they call themselves pastors now. I'm trying to figure this out. Then they say, well, you know, we do the work of a pastor. Wait a minute. Wait one Mississippi cotton picking minute. When my children were small, sometimes I changed their pampers, their diapers. When my children were small, sometimes I fed them the milk bottle. But not one time did that make me their mama. Say amen when you can. They never called me mama. And I did some motherly things. But I was never referred to as mama because they know I'm daddy. God has the touch of a woman. But he never called woman. He has the tender love of a woman. But he's never called wife. He's never called she or her. God is always in the masculine gender. And yes, he does things for us that a mother would do for a child. But you don't call him Mama God. Thought I'd tell you, I laugh sometimes. But we need to understand it. I know where these young bloods are coming from, but we need to stay scriptural. No sense in getting upset with me. I'm just trying to tell the story that Jesus left in the Bible. Before the wolves came in, every church that had elders had a plurality of elders. They didn't have just one man as the pastor over the church. You don't believe me, do you? Come to the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. I won't give but one scripture. I won't give a whole lot, but I have a lot to give. I'm trying to respect your time now because I can take you through the Bible and show you elders in the plural. Oh, yes, I can take you to Acts 14, 23. I can take you over in the Bible and show you some stuff. Are you in Philippians 1 and verse number 1? Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Did you get the plurality of the bishops? At Philippi, they had more than one bishop. That's all through the book. And the Bible is right. People need to understand the organizational structure of the church before the world came in. Now let me work on this thing I call a spiritual organism. When he said, feed the church of God, church, ecclesia, church of God, which he, Christ, has purchased with his own blood. Now, before I do that, let me just drop this, and then I may pick it up later on in the week. There were no women pastors. pastors before the world say amen. So I'll just leave that one out there hanging. Because if I go through that, I'll be a while. So I'll just put that in a separate sermon altogether. But if you have a question on it tonight, ask it and we'll deal with it. They didn't have women pastors back then. I turned on my television today. TBN. Man and his wife came on, pastor and co-pastor. She's the co-pastor. How in the world can she be the co-pastor when the Bible said the husband of one wife? Surely that man wasn't married to another man. You'll catch it. The Bible is right. When I talk about a spiritual organism, I'm talking about a living body. The church is the living body of Christ. The body of Christ, the living body of Christ, is the living church of Christ. And people need to understand that. There isn't but one living spiritual organism. Christ built that one. Man needs to understand that he cannot subtract, add to, or tamper with God's word. Whatever God put in here, we need to accept it and leave it like God gave it. So let's go to Ephesians 4. Let's take a look. Verse number 1. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is. Somebody got to get this language. He didn't say there was. He didn't say there was one body. He said there is one body. Now I got to work on this. He didn't say there will be one body. He said, there is. Well, says God, left the there is in the Bible. I'm going to preach it like it was. How was it? There is one body. How am I going to preach it? I'm going to preach it like it was. Says God left, there is one body, one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, I'm going to preach like it was. There was, there is one body. So how am I going to tell it? I'm going to tell it like it was. So how was it? There is one body. Or what about now? There is one body. What about the future? There is one body. Well, God wants all mankind in that one body. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 6. I need you to see it. If you don't see it, you can't obey it. You have to see it. In order to obey it, you don't get in the church of Christ by accident. You make a conscious decision to obey God. Are you in Ephesians 3, verse number 6, that the Gentiles by my mouth, wait a minute, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Notice that the Gentile should be fellow heirs. That means with the Jews. That means with all mankind. Now of the same body. Now since there is one body, God wants us to be in the same one body. Now before the wolves came in, there was no denomination. So I want to tell it like it was. There is one body. We ought to be a part of the same body and partakers. Am I correct about it? Of his promise. Of his promise. Now what did God promise? I maintain God promised. Acts 2:38. Watch what God promised. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all as many as are far off, as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody got to get it. What they received back then, when they were baptized, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They received remission of sin. And that's the same thing he promises to us today. Are you getting it? Well, you will not receive forgiveness of sin or the gift of the Holy Ghost if you are not in the same one body that they were in. Is that plain enough? People need to understand. There isn't but one spiritual organism, one living entity, one living body that Jesus Christ brought and built in this world. Now you need to find out where all of these others came from. Are you still in Ephesians 3? We'll drop down to verse 21. Let's see. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The one living organism, spiritual organism that came into the world came by Christ. Now, if you are in a church that some man brought here, you are not in the one that Jesus brought here. Didn't but one come by him. Every house, the Hebrew writer said, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 3, every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. Every house that's in the world today, some man built it, but Jesus is a son over his own house. That's in Hebrews 3 and verse 6. Oh, I know the Bible is right. Moses built the house in the Old Testament. But that's not the house that you need to be in tonight. Solomon built the temple in the Old Testament. But that's not the temple that you need to be in tonight. I need to tell you, when God wanted salvation for man in the antediluvian period, that is the time before the flood, God called a man named Noah. And in Genesis 6, God told Noah, make thee an ark. When God was ready for the ark to be built, he called a man. When God got ready for the temple to be built, in 1 Kings 6, he called a man named Solomon. When God got ready for the tabernacle to be built, Exodus 25, he called a man named Moses. But when God got ready for the church of Christ to be built, he didn't call a man. He stepped out of heaven himself, came down here to build it himself. In other words, he's not going to leave the building of the church up to some mere mortal human being. It was the God man, Jesus Christ, that built the church. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. Your Bible says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Paul didn't stop writing. Chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm here to tell you, when God wanted the church built, Jesus came, built the church. Am I correct about it? So I'm telling you tonight, you need to be in the church that Jesus built. And he didn't build but one. I remember, if you don't mind, Brother Mitchell, I want to use that chair right there. I want to tell you all what happened to me. You all don't mind me sitting down on the job, do you? Well, I want to tell you what happened to me. I went to the emergency room, to the hospital. Man, I thought I was having a heart attack. And here I am, up in that emergency room. So the lady told me to take a seat. I took my seat. She asked me a question. She said, sir, what is your religious affiliation? I said, Christian. She said, well, I know that, sir, but what's your religious affiliation? I said, Christian. She said, sir, I know that, but what's your religious affiliation? I said, ma'am, Christian. She figured, well, I was ignorant and she couldn't get anywhere. So she said, well, let me ask you this then. What church do you go to? I said, Church of Christ. She said, sir, I know that, but what church do you go to? I said, ma'am, I go to the Church of Christ. Now by this time, I'm getting upset. But I'm too scared to get upset because I'm already up in there thinking I'm having a heart attack. So she's bothering me, you see. And so I said, ma'am, let me tell you what your problem is. And I'm scared to really get to it like I'm doing it now, you know. I wanted to do it like I'm doing it now, but I was in there because I thought I was having a heart attack. So I calmly said, ma'am, let me tell you. Now, you got to get this in my low voice. But I said, ma'am, let me tell you what your problem is. Your problem is when folk come up in here and you ask them, what's your religious affiliation? They tell you Methodist. Since you know what a Methodist is, you write it down. You ask them, they tell you Baptist. Since you know what a Baptist is, you write it down. I came in here telling you I'm a Christian, and you don't know what a Christian is, so you won't write it down. So when they come in here and tell you they're in the Methodist church, and you know what a Methodist church is, you write it down. When they tell you about a Baptist church, you write it down. I came and told you the Church of Christ, and since you don't know about the Church of Christ, you don't want to write it down. Man, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Well, by that time, they hollered for me in the back. I got up. Oh, yes, I did. I got up and I went in the back. And when I went back, I may need it again, Brother Mitchell. When I went in the back, the doctor looked at me. Have a seat, young man. Now, I'm 21 years old at this time. So I had a seat. He said, young man, what do you do? I said, well, I work for a place called Morning Lines, and I'm a gospel preacher of the Church of Christ. He looked at me. He said, wow, I'm an elder in the Church of Christ. And I got mad all over again. I said, you mean to tell me you're an elder in the Church of Christ? Well, you need to go teach that woman sitting out there in that desk telling folk they don't know what they are. Are you all catching this? Man, I was having a hard time with that woman. All I wanted to do was see the doctor. And she's bothering me about my religious affiliation. I'm a Christian and a member of the Church of Christ. That's it. Why are we looking for any more than that? I'm going to work on that tomorrow night if the Lord says the same. Scriptural organization. Before the wolves came in, you had a plurality of elders and no women pastors. That's before the wolves came in. Before the wolves came in, there was one spiritual organism, just one church, one spiritual body, Church of Christ. That was it. Before the wolves came in, there was one way to enter into that church, and it was through baptism. I showed you that with the people in Acts 18 and Acts 19. There isn't but one baptism that saves. That was before the wolves came in. But since the wolves have come in, somebody ought to hear me. You don't have among these churches that same scriptural organization. You have so many different churches. They don't preach the one Church of Christ. That one simple order of salvation. A person must put his faith in what he's heard. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Once you hear and believe, you need to repent of your sins. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. You need to confess like the eunuch did. Acts 8:37. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you need to be baptized. Baptized to get into Christ. Baptized to get in the Church of Christ. Baptized to get forgiveness of sin. Baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptized to be saved. Baptized to get all the promises that God has for you. Baptized to get your sins washed away. Baptized to enter the blood of Christ. baptized to enter his death, baptized to be buried, baptized to be raised to walk in newness of life. Oh, I could have put a scripture on every one of those, but I just knew you couldn't take too much more of this. Are you listening? God wants you to be a part of the church the way it was before the world came in. Since the world have come in, oh, they sprinkle you now for baptism. Since the world. But before the wolves came in, the word for baptism has never been rantizo, sprinkle, to let out, scatter. It's always been a burial. That's what Colossians 2 and verse 12 says. Buried with him by baptism. Isn't that right? That's what Romans 6, 4 says. Buried with him. So where we get all of this strange stuff from? I'll tell you, the wolves brought it. So that's why I tell it. Like it was. So from now on, how are you going to tell it? Go tell it like it was. Don't tell it like it is. Go back to the book and say, that's how it was in the Bible. Friday night, bring everybody. I'm going to preach a sermon entitled, Have You Seen It Like This Before? Yeah, that's Friday night. Don't let me forget now. You remind me tomorrow. Yeah, I'm almost 60 years old. I couldn't believe I'm getting that old, man. I couldn't believe it. My wife said to me, baby, you realize you're almost 60. Now I know why I have to have folks to remind me of stuff. Yeah, be like the man, you know. I have to write stuff down now. See what I came here with? I want you all to see this. Before I take my seat, you see what I came here with? Yeah, I'll see all these sermons. I got to make sure I remember what I'm supposed to say. You think I brought enough? I brought enough. Yes, sir. I want to make sure that I can remember what I'm supposed to say. Man went into the bedroom. The wife said, he asked his wife, he said, honey, you want some ice cream? She said, sure. She said, well, baby, why don't you write it down? He said, oh, woman, I don't need to write that down. All I'm going is from the bedroom to the kitchen. I can remember to bring back some ice cream. He said, well, darling, do you want some nuts on it? She said, sure. She said, well, baby, why don't you write it down? He said, woman, didn't I tell you I don't need to write it down? And then he went off in the kitchen and stayed a little longer than she had expected. And he came back. He said, well, baby, here are your eggs. She looked at him and said, where's my bacon? Both of them forgot. So let me tell you what God did. No, you got to catch the moral of the story, man. You're looking at it as just a joke, but you got to catch what's behind it. You see, God wanted to make sure that his preachers preach what he left in the Bible. So what did he do? He had it written down. So God said to Peter, write it down. Peter could have said, well, Lord, I don't need to write it down. I can remember God said, no, write it down. Came to Paul and said, Paul, write it down. Paul could have said, well, Lord, you know, I have the Holy Spirit and I don't need to write it down. But God said, write it down. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Ephesians 3 and verse number 3, how that by revelation he made known the mean a mystery of his will. Notice this. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Well, watch this. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery as I wrote afore. In few words, what did Paul do? God had him to write it down. And I don't want to forget. That's why I bring my Bible and my sermon. Because I want to make sure I read what's written down. See, you were laughing at me a moment ago. Because I said that woman told him to write it down. See, you're not laughing now. But you know why? Because God had it written down. The way to preserve the divine will of God is to put it in writing. So if anybody wants to argue with you, just go pick up that which is written. You want to come to Jesus, song leader? I'm ready. You want to come to Jesus tonight? Did you see how it was before the wolves came in? Look at it now. They wanted to be different. But if we tell it like it was, it'll remain the same. Come on, let's stand. Somebody may want to come.
Five sixty. I am resolved. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things of a less nice sight for us. It's an essence of life.